Are you feeling small, outnumbered, or tongue-tied in a hostile culture? Step into Moses' burning bush moment and discover how God calls ordinary believers in Washington to confront modern pharaohs with unstoppable hope. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. If you haven't checked us out, go to fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Hey, we are on the last day of the year in the middle of our Hope series. And then next week, we'll go back to Romans and Old Testament Tuesday. But I hope you've enjoyed this time together, looking at Hebrews chapter 10, and then looking at Old Testament stories that just simply bring us hope. Because how many of you know, like in Washington State, we need hope. And our hope can't be in the government. It can't be, well, I guess it can be in the government, but shouldn't be in the government. It should not be in our laws or anything else. Our hope needs to be in Jesus Christ. And when our hope's in Christ, when we have that priority, our stewardship becomes very faithful because we want to glorify Christ by loving God and loving others. So if you're enjoying this daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. So that really does help us get the word out and grow in influence and influencing hearts, because we're changing hearts so that we change the public square. So let's dive in today. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And 2026 is going to be a year that you have hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. So I want to talk to you about hope and God's calling, his calling of you. And we're going to look at Moses' calling in Exodus. Yesterday we looked at Exodus chapters 1 and 2. Today we're going to look at chapters 3 and 4. But I want you to think about, for just a few moments, your calling to the state of Washington, your calling to your neighbors, your calling to your workplace, your calling to whatever you do to bring glory and honor to God, both in your family, because that's equal calling, and in the public square. So let's look at Moses and see if we can't learn something about Moses' calling. The first point I want to make is, and our hope and our calling is, God appears to Moses at the burning bush. And if you haven't had a burning bush experience, I want to encourage you to spend some time in God's word, pray, let God just speak to your heart and to your mind. But let's read it in chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mount of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. So the first thing that we see is that God shows up. And I believe that overall, God shows up through his word, right? He speaks to us through the word of God, right here, the Bible. And so spending some quality time in God's word and saying, God, speak to me, asking God to clarify for you his calling in your life, and to really think about the mission that God has entrusted to you for 2026. So let's talk about this a little bit more. So God identifies himself and calls Moses by name, Exodus 3, 4 through 6. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, and this is important, you're going to go through your day today, and are you going to turn aside on your before you enter into that workplace and look for the very things of God? God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Can you imagine, like maybe you're driving into work right now and you're like, God, I'm just going to pause. What's my calling for today? Like, what are you asking me to accomplish today? And he might say, Brian, or he might say whatever your name is. And your response, what will it be? I love this. Moses says, "Here I am." That is such a common response in the Old Testament. "Here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening." Then he said, "Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said also, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Now remember, Abraham got the covenant of God. Isaac got reminded of the covenant of God. Jacob, or Israel, I mean, that's a name change, got the covenant of God. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Look at the reverence that Moses has for Almighty God. In the center of your hope today, are you having a reverence for Almighty God? Maybe his calling for your day is to be salt and light in that workplace, and you're going to share Jesus with someone today. Have hope in that. You're going to see God use you through the Word of God to change someone's heart. Some truth is going to come out of you today, and it's going to be such a way that calls people to repentance. I love that. Moses hid his face out of fear. He was afraid to look at God. So God says he has seen, heard, and come down to rescue. Look at this. This is God's claim. The Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people." God sees our affliction here in Washington State. Somebody say, "What affliction do we have?" Do you know that we're one of the highest tax states, that we have, we have our children, in essence, to whatever degree, that the adults in the room are giving out laws that will hurt our children. You know, there's just so much going on. God is seeing all this affliction of our people. He's seeing the injustice towards those in poverty. He's seeing the injustice of how we treat those who are on drugs by enabling them in their addiction. He's seeing us embrace illegal immigration in the state of Washington. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And God sees that affliction of his people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their sufferings. God is aware of our sufferings as in the state of Washington and our individual sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Whew, that's a mouthful. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Wow. Do you understand that we may be called to go before governors, legislative branches, judicial systems or judicial courts, and speak the word of God to them? Maybe it's through our prayer tour. We're going to pray over them for them to have wisdom and insight and direction from the Lord. Maybe it's through speaking truth to them and saying, "Listen, this thing does not glorify God. We need to honor God by protecting our children and making sure that we can stand for lower taxes on our business owners and on those around us, like our widows and those who are overtaxed at the pump, those who are poor. We've got to take a stand for these things." And yet, to a certain degree, we see that Israel was in a place, the nation of Israel, was in a place of bondage and slavery. So next we see that Moses' sense of inadequacy in God's answer, "I will be with you." You may in 2026 have a sense of being inadequate. Who am I? I'm just one person out of the 8 million people that live in the state of Washington. Could you imagine Moses having that same heart? But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" You may have that same feeling like Moses, like, I'm not a big deal. I don't know what to do. You might be a small business owner and you're like thinking, "Who am I? Look at all these big box businesses. Look at all these things over here." I want to encourage you. You are a son or daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You aren't a big deal, but God inside of you is a big deal. He is the one who wants you to look out how to love your neighbor as yourself. And so this was Moses' struggle. And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought your people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. I love this because he's going to give them a sign, and that, you know, he's been called to this place of worship and he's going to come out. Now remember, we studied this a few days ago in our Hope series. Abraham had this foreknowledge by God that this was going to be happening for 400 plus years. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am the son of Israel, and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I love how God answers. And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. See that? We learned about that. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to you. Covenant. Remember that. Just that was all the covenant relationship with God. And this is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. God is concerned over Washington State. I know it just may not feel, It may not feel like he's concerned. Like, why does he care about Washington? We have apples, we have potatoes, we have farms, we have industry, we have Amazon, we have all, you know, we have Google, we have all these things in Washington. Why would he be concerned? We've done so many evil things. Yeah, we need to repent of those things. But we've also done things that have changed the world. If we've done evil, we need to repent. No argument there. We need to understand that government has a role. It's a small little role that it's supposed to have. Safety of its citizenship and punishment of evil. That's the smallest role, the limited government. All these other things get in the way of loving our neighbor. For instance, when a small business is overtaxed, or unemployment tax is way too high, or minimum wage is way too high, you know what that does? That affects how many people they can hire. That affects the family. And I say this because sometimes we don't know if God sees all these things. And he's concerned about it more than we are concerned about it. So I said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and to the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hevites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. They will pay heed to what you say, and you, with the elders of Israel, will come to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So now please let us go a 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except under compulsion. Look, this is very, very key. God knows the heart of Pharaoh. And he says he's not going to permit it. Why? God's all-knowing. God's all-knowing about what happened in Egypt with Israel. He knew when Abraham was promised. He knew that when Jacob brought his family down there, and that Israel, the nation of Israel, would be eventually enslaved to the Egyptians. He knew all of that. And he knows how they're going to get out. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. Look at this. They're going to be paid off to get out of there. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and your daughters. Thus you will plunder the Egyptians. look at, they're going to ask for it. Many people miss this about the Exodus experience. They didn't steal it. They weren't thieves. God said, just ask and they'll give it to you. So Moses objects about being slow to speech, and God promises to be with him. Then Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may not say, the Lord has appeared to you. And the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Look at that. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We studied that before. The Lord furthermore said to him, now put your hand into your bosom. So he put his hand into his bosom. And when he had took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, now put your hand into your bosom again. So he put his hand into his bosom again. And when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you or heed the whiteness of your first sign, if they will not believe you or heed the witness of your first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. But if they will not believe even those or these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow to speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? And you may have the same objection today as you go into the public square. Who am I? And I can't even say things right or whatever. God, this mouth doesn't work. Have hope. Who made your mouth? God made your mouth. And God is giving you these experiences just like Moses. Or who makes him mute or deaf or seen or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. But he said, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. And moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to those people, and he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. You shall take in your hand the staff with which you have performed the signs. Then Moses departed and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go, that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see if they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead. So Moses took his wife and his sons and mounted them on a donkey and returned to the land of Egypt. Moses also took the staff of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power, but I will harden the heart so that he will not let the people go. Remember verse 19? God foresaw that he was going to do this. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I said to you, let my son go that he may serve me, but you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn. Now, it came about the lodging place, the way of the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet. And she said, you are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me. So he let him alone. At that time, she said, you are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. Now the Lord said to Aaron, go to meet Moses in the wilderness. So he went and met him at the Mount of God, and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. And then Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders of the sons of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. And he then performed the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they had heard that the Lord was concerned about the sons of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, then they bowed low and worshiped. So what's our application today? Expect God to break through the ordinary in your burning bush today. Expect God to speak to you through his word. That's going to bring hope to you. Rest in God's holy presence today. Rest in that. Remember, hope remembers that the holy God who secured the patriarch's future knows each believer personally by name and invites reverent nearness rather than abandonment. God has a compassionate rescue plan for you today. Cling to the truth that God is not distant from your suffering. Understand that clearly today. You may feel inadequate. Maybe your speech isn't good, but God knows your weaknesses. Have hope. Courageous words and effectiveness will flow through you because the power of the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And then finally, whatever he calls you to do, walk it out. He's with you. And there's so many more for you than against you because God has a remnant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I know I've gone a little bit long today, but God, would you raise up Moseses who will take a stand? Fill the state of Washington with hope. We pray for Bob Ferguson to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray for all the executive branch to know you. We pray for the judicial branch to get back to what they're supposed to do and the legislative branch to get back to what they're supposed to do. Would you give us Moseses in each and every area to set the people free, to be free from overtaxation, to be free from overreach of the government, to be free from all these things, God. Let us not be slaves in the land of the free, but let us truly be free today. Restore the joy of your salvation to our hearts. Put hope in us once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.